He was, Ngedi was elected 8 months ago, November 4th, following the ousting of Mayor Lindile Nanka. She was removed on October through a vote of no confidence. Now, the ANC's provincial secretary, Becky Moto, he suspended her in September last year, and that move was supported by the party's National Executive Committee. He accused her of corruption, and Ngedi had been deputy mayor. Do you think that this now he's been asked to step down as well? Do you think somehow our municipality is captured, and how far is this influence going now? What is at play? Because she's stepped down after being accused of corruption. This all goes back to the suspension of the CFO and how the particularly the ANC paid the EFF certain amount of money for them to pass a vote of no confidence or a motion to pass a motion in council to suspend the CFO. And the, obviously the ANC needed more votes to pass that motion. And Ngedi stepped in, and now he's out. Where are we going next? Is this more play, unfolding or unraveling in the council? Are we still looking at instability?
Well, in terms of stability and unity in Kwadukuza Municipality, because when this guy came in, he immensely divided Kwadukuza Municipality. He divided councillors. Yeah. He divided officials. The biggest mistake that Ali Ngedi did, although like he's got his own flaws, the biggest mistake that he did was to ensure that when he came in, he inherited the very same friends that were being used by Lindi Naca.
Okay.
The very same people that misled Lindi Naca, and then this guy inherited those people. Remember that even in the panel of Lindi Naca's friends, Ali Ngedi was there. Yeah. Njabulo Qede was there. And many others that are currently advising Ali Ngedi. Now, he inherited the very same panel to come and advise him. Now, if we actually happened accidentally have the same person with the same passion, we're still going to encounter the very same challenges that we had. Because the most people that are tender hungry are the friends that are being used by these people, starting from Lindi Naca up to the current mayor now who's been suspended by the ANC.
Yeah.
So we need a person that will come in and ensure that he doesn't just grab anyone on the street to say that become my advisor or legally advisor, like the guys that are actually advising Ali Ngedi at this moment in time. We need a person that is going to come in and stand firm on the road and say, this is what I need to do. I'm going to champion service delivery. I'm going to ensure that I eliminate every single element of crime or corruption in this municipality. Those are people that we need to actually come in.
And it's very concerning because there is so much allegations that our municipality is captured by syndicate or construction syndicate. Because when you look at those construction contracts, I mean, going back to the 1.4 billion rand grant that was given for the constructions, there is a lot of power and money at play here. And, what happens if this continues? Is there a possibility that we could possibly look at a mayor that is not affiliated with the ANC? Would that be a possibility?
That is very much possible.
Yeah.
That is very much possible.
And what do we need to do that? Because we need someone who is, as you said, who's distanced themselves from these internal influences. Because as we've seen now, there is a pattern that's playing out in Kwadukuza, not just in Kwadukuza, but across the country. Investigations are launched, task teams are appointed, we've got press statements, they're all issued, but then nothing. Reports are delayed, or we hear that the reports are sitting in the MM or someone's office, in his cabinet, and nothing's been done. So there's all these wrongdoings that are happening, and people who are under suspicion keep keeping their jobs, or they're probably redeployed. So there almost needs to be a pattern that has to be broken. And how do we in our municipality break a pattern like that?
Well, first of all, Penny, if you look at the numbers at this moment in time in council, we have 59 councillors.
Yeah.
Out of 59 councillors, 28 are coming from the ANC. That means 31 councillors are from the opposition.
Okay.
Now, that is what I was saying to you.
Yeah.
It is possible for us to have a mayor, deputy mayor, speaker for that moment. Yes. who cannot be a person that comes from the ANC, because numbers are actually on the side of the opposition.
Yeah.
But the challenge that we have is IFP.
Okay. They, I've heard, are captured by the ANC.
IFP is highly captured by the ANC in Gwadugusa municipality.
Yeah.
As to how, we don't know, because they are not legally mandated to vote with the ANC.
Yeah.
But every single moment, they vote with the ANC.
Yeah. You know, a document came to my onto my desk where it showed an invoice that one of the IFP councillors in Gwadugusa had had been renting premises in a rental institution here in Ballito, and his invoice had been paid by the ANC in council. And, you know, I approached the IFP. I took the matter, you know, to the province, and they said they were going to launch an internal investigation. And then from there, I followed it up, and then they said, no, we are looking at him. He's going to be called in for a hearing. And then it all went quiet. And now this happened before the national elections took place. And when I approached various opposition parties to talk about this, I said, why is this happening? What is going on? They said, oh, you know what? If the IFP now is, if this comes out into the light, they could be brought into disrepute, and this could upset the GNU that's taking place, because the GNU needed the IFP to be formed as well. So they almost squashed this negative publicity that's under our noses just to protect a broader political agenda that was happening at the top. So now we come back to the municipality on a local level, and we've seen a lot of stuff that's been happening. One of the councillors, he also had charges. There were allegations of rape against him. The charges were also dropped as well. What is, you know, who is controlling this then? If you're saying that the IFP is allegedly embedded with the ANC, how do we take this apart? Where's what are the voters doing about it? Do they know that this is happening?
Well, I think if one can start by investigating those things first,
yeah,
you know, because we are the ones who exposed that from the first place.
Yes. Yes.
We are the ones who went deeper in Gwadugusa municipality and ensured that we get those invoices. Indeed, an IFP councillor by the name of Musa Sibisi,
yes,
was actually rented by Gwadugusa municipality, whereby he was paying around 11,500 rand per week
to stay at this accommodation.
Yes,
yes, I saw the invoice.
He was actually living in one of the local hotels around, yes, Ballito. Gwadugusa municipality was paying around 11,000 something. I cannot have the clear figures.
Let me just state it's ratepayer money as well. Hey, they were,
yes,
using money
from
the
ratepayers. And then we exposed that.
Yeah.
The guy had to be taken out of that hotel. He was then moved to Blydendale to live with one of the ANC councillors.
Yeah, yes, from the ward 28. I mean, no, not 28. Yeah.
It's an ANC councillor, yeah, and an IFP councillor. There is no coalition government agreement,
yeah,
that we know between the ANC and IFP in Gwadugusa municipality. They went to live in one place. And then 3 weeks down the line after that, the ANC councillor kicked out the IFP councillor to say that, no, you are disturbing me here. Then he was moved out. And the issue that we are talking about of a rape, because he actually got a child who was 17 back then.
Yeah, she was underage, yeah.
But that case, I don't know how it ended, because it's no longer in court.
The charges
did nothing about that. We even ourselves ensure that this matter is actually being reported to the IFP to do something about it. They did nothing.
Yeah.
Back to the issue of EFF being given money, I think it was over 500,000 rand to go to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
There is no agreement, working relationship between EFF and ANC. But they were paid money. They received money.
Yeah, and we saw bank. There was the whistleblower did reveal a lot of stuff, you know, in a report that was actually shared, that was given to the office of the president as well. And there were some serious allegations made against it. But as we saw, nothing happened, because what actually happened was the motion that to suspend the CFO was passed. You know, he was suspended. He spent millions of his own money trying to, you know, it was an unfair suspension. He fought it in court. The courts have ruled in his favor. We've got the ratepayers are facing massive legal fees in that matter, over 3 million rand, to defend a case where it was a 37,000 rand bank charge. It was just questionable. Yet we saw nothing happening. That was he came back. Eventually, you know, there was a massive revolt in council that got him reinstated. And we have heard nothing about that. Nothing, you know, the money that was spent, defending, you know, defending something so trivial and so, it was so small and it just, it was nonsensical. I sat in all these court hearings and I saw how the lawyers representing Quad Ikuza used the law just to protect things, and it actually became a joke. And yes, yet we're seeing those same people in council now, you know, making decisions using ratepayer money, and no accountability again.
As I said, those are things that we need to investigate. Yeah. We need to know who is behind taking Quad Ikuza down.
And who's it is behind? Captured. Yes. I have to say that. I think it is captured, you know, and we've read these documents. We've read the whistle. The whistleblower document also landed in my, you know, in my on my desk. And I've gone through everything. It was a massive. There were substantial allegations, and they were supported by lots of stuff. And then that has resulted in, you know, the internal investigations happening. We've got the SIU. We've got Cochter. We've got every possible organization looking into Quad Ikuza.
And you know, Penny, at this moment in time, it's so sad that the only information that you have ends at around 3.5 to 3.8 million, which is an amount of money that we spent defending a matter that we knew that it was not there.
Yeah.
A matter that we're supposed to sit down and see how we can resolve it. As you said, 37,000 rand versus 3.8 million rand. That's a lot.
Can't justify it. You
want to actually return or recover 37,000 rand, but you spend 3.8 million rand. It doesn't make sense. Even if like we were to spend 100,000 rand, that on its own was going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You cannot spend 100,000 rand to defend
37,000.
Penny on that. But still, we are still spending money in court. Remember the gentleman after he came back?
Yeah.
He wanted Quad Ikuza Municipality to actually reimburse him. I think it was 1.8 million rand or something like that. I'm not so sure about his legal fees that he spent in court. But the matter is still in court now, defending Quad Ikuza Municipality not to actually have that settlement. You know, we are still in court, but we don't know how much we have spent now defending that that case, which was brought to us by the CFO. That means, along that matter, we spent over 6 million rands.
It's so nonsensical. I've almost lost my ability to be outraged when I listen to this, because it makes no sense. It's so nonsensical. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's just not even that. Look at the 35.7 million rand, the heights that took place. You know, and it was almost like, oh, we've recovered 30 million, let's high five each other. But the fact that that was allowed to take place, you know, under the watch of the municipality, when there were grave concerns from the CFO's office that our systems were, you know, vulnerable, and the, you know, and council ordered some sort of security audit to take place, which never took place, and then this happened. What's happened with that now? Have you guys been briefed on that latest update?
There are people that are saying, do we even have a proof that 30 million rand has been properly brought back to Quad Ikuza primary account?
So
we don't have a proof whether the money was actually returned back to Quad Ikuza primary account or not. It's only something that are being told, that we recovered 30 million rands, and then we have an outstanding of around 4.8 million rands. Yeah. We don't have a proof. But the biggest question now is, do we need to make an application to arrest people that we know they received our money in their bank accounts, and then they never followed a protocol, right protocol, to actually ensure that you go to the bank? If the money actually entered your account unknowingly, you're supposed to go to the bank and say, I received this amount of money. Yeah. I don't know where it comes from.
And it was a small amount of money.
Yes, they never did that. But what they did, they went to the bank, withdrew the money, used it to their own benefits. do we need a permit to arrest those people?
Yeah.
The information came to us in March this year, around 4 months back now. But no one has been arrested. Why do we not have people arrested? The recipients, most of them are actually around Kwadukuza municipality. As I said before, three of those people are actually coming from Alingiti's ward, in ward 8 in Kobongo, where the mayor comes from. But the biggest question now is, why are you being so silent about this matter? Yet the people that received money are coming from your ward. So this then to us says, your silence is too loud.
Yeah.
Not for you to go and question this thing. Not even to give an assurance to Kwadukuza residents and say, now that we do have this information, we are looking forward in ensuring that these people do get arrested so that we can be able to get answers. He says nothing. No. He knows those people that are living in his ward, but he says nothing.
And yet there wasn't even a statement. If I was implicated in something, there were 15 recipients, I would say, this is outrageous. Someone was trying to set me up. Nothing has happened. I mean, these names are known. They've received a substantial amount of money, and then they're saying, oh, we've recovered it. Now, what you're telling me is very concerning, because where is the proof that they actually recovered the money that they're saying they did? They've spent a lot of money going to one of those, it was a ghost company that received $4 million, I think, without any registration, and they're now looking into court to try and get the money back. I mean, how does that even happen? But that's another thing. How are we now? We've got three mayors in under 4 years, largely because of the political tussles that have been going on. We've got a municipality that is very, by any means, captured. And now we are sitting at a brink where we need some firm leadership to come into council and lead council in a way that is going to try and breed out this rot that is so pervasive and so deep. What is the next step, you think?
Ours, Penny, and the listeners at home, is to ensure that we get someone from Kwadukuza municipality, not from outside.
Okay.
We do get rumors that there will be someone from eThekwini who's going to come and oversee what is happening in Kwadukuza municipality. That we don't want.
Yeah.
And secondly, to ask that then says, the ANC is sending a vote of no confidence to its own councillors that were elected by our communities, that they do not trust their own leaders. If they can take that stand and say, we'll go down to Durban, take somebody to come to Kwadukuza and become a mayor, we need to ensure that we're vetting that person properly before he becomes elected, as to whether this is a person that has got his own scandals or her own scandals or not. So, but ours to ensure that during that process, a person from Kwadukuza is elected, a person who knows what is happening in Kwadukuza is elected, because the challenge that actually causes Kwadukuza municipality to be under this mess, it's because of officials that are not original from Kwadukuza municipality.
Yeah.
They don't care of what is actually happening in Kwadukuza. They don't care about potholes, because on Thursday, they are renting around Balito. They drive from Balito, join freeway, Kwadukuza offices, and then come back to Balito.
Yeah.
On Friday evening, they drive back to their towns where they come from. Now, these people don't have Kwadukuza at heart.
No.
That is why I'm saying our responsibility now in this 2 weeks' time is to ensure that we get the right person from Kwadukuza municipality, whom when we say we have massive portals around Nkobongo, Daniel, it's a person that will be easier for him or her to go to that area and see what we're actually talking about.
And is in touch with the needs of the people on the ground. That's what you're saying, which is the same thing. And I think this is going to be such a critical time in our political landscape in Kwadukuza in the next couple of weeks on how it's going to unravel. And I think this is also very crucial that everyone, you know, backs you guys, you know, our position parties to really, really try and turn things around. Because I don't think we have time to wait till the local government elections next year, which are possibly taking place by between November and 2027. A lot can happen then. So we need, communities to support, you know, accountability and, you know, anti-corruption. Independent voices like yourself that are making a difference in council. I know we're running out of time. So as investigations continue, we will keep watching, asking hard questions and reporting what needs to be known. A special thank you to you, Kami. Thank you for all the work you're doing. And to our listeners, till next time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Penny.
Uncensored with Penny Puri is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324777. Your safety is their priority.